Walter Knight would tell this story of an old Scottish woman. And she would travel around the Scottish countryside selling buttons and thread and shoestrings to just whoever she could find, and just to try to make a living. And as she traveled around, whenever she came to a crossroads and she had to make a decision about going to the right or to the left, she would toss a stick in the air. And when the stick landed, whichever way it pointed is the way that she would go. One day, however, she was seen standing at a crossroads and was tossing the stick over and over and over again. Someone finally went up to her and asked, "Well, why do you keep tossing the stick in the air? And why are you doing it more than once?" And she looks at him and looks at the crossroads and says, "Well, I really want to go right, but the stick keeps landing pointing left." Anyway, all right, so. But it's interesting that we do that all the time, right? We know the way we should go. We know the right answer. We know the best thing to do. We know what God maybe would want us to do. But we keep tossing the stick in the air and say, okay, maybe there's a better answer. God, maybe you'll give me a better answer. In fact, as I was thinking about that story, I was thinking about Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, that we're, would be during this week, during the Passion Week. That's what Jesus was asking, I think, God, too. He was saying, yeah, this is the way that we need to go, this, you know, to the cross and his death and those kind of things. And in the garden, he was distraught, right? He didn't want to do that because he knew the torture and the pain that would cause him personally. So he kept on asking God, is there another way? Is there another way? And there's nothing wrong, obviously, with asking God, is there another way? But oftentimes, we know the way and we know the best way and we know the right thing. We just tend not to. We keep tossing the stick, hoping we'll get a better answer the next time. And so thinking about that this week, we tend to be able to see the things that in other people more than in ourselves. But in thinking about that, we tend to, again, know what we're supposed to do, know the best route, know the path that we should take, but we tend to just find ways or reasons not to, and we find excuses. And I think that this morning, after all the things that we've talked about over the last month or so with this Better Together series, is we've found ways, or we've found excuses probably to do these things. I know I have, right? I've tried to give you some practical things to think about or to do over the last several weeks, and I personally have found some excuses not to do some of the things that I've asked you to do, and I'm sure you guys have been in the same boat to a certain extent. I've tried my hardest too, and I appreciate those that have put some effort and time into what I've asked you to do, but it's hard, right? We're human, and we have our natural tendencies, and it's hard to live out the things, again, that God has called us to do and the things that he asked us to do. And I think probably this morning is just as true as any other thing that we're going to talk about with this idea of serving together. And again, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about ways to be better together. I haven't given you a lot of homework that's really communal, right? It's what can you do as an individual to make a community or your relationships better, how we can make our relationships better. But this week's going to be a little bit different. It's hard to serve together when you're out there by yourself serving. But it's hard for me, though, too. And I'm sure others of you are a similar boat. It's so easy just to take care of things on your own, right? And just, there's something that needs to get done, just take care of it, right? Your neighbor needs something taken care of, I'm just going to go take care of it. And there's nothing wrong with that by any means. But it misses something of the communal togetherness atmosphere that we're talking about this morning. And so this morning, that's what we're going to break down. I do want to warn you next week, just so you guys are prepared emotionally, because this might emotionally traumatize some of us. We're going to have a different setup in this room, okay? So instead of rows that you'll be sitting in, my hope is to have different tables set up around the room, and so you're kind of sitting around, like Jesus did in the Last Supper, right? They sat on the other side of the table, right? And anyway, they didn't do that, but that's how the picture is. That's what we're going to do. And so just going to prepare you a little bit. You come in, just know there might be a little bit different setup here this morning. And so the hope, and I do have a purpose behind it other than just to annoy people. Usually my purpose isn't to annoy people, but I have a purpose behind it, and I hope that it comes across to you. So just be prepared for that next week as you come in. I know it's Easter. I know all those things are going on, but I think it'll be worthwhile as we move forward as well. So jumping into this week, we're going to look at four key aspects to what does it look like to serve together. And these are more practical kind of things. There are things that I'll talk about that are a little less, that are more emotional and personal and attitude related. But it's much more, these are keys that are much more practically speaking. And as we talked about the last several weeks, it's great to do things, you know, we have our individual purposes of worship and fellowship and ministry and mission, but those ministries, individual things, are things that we need to be doing together as well. In fact, a couple of you guys are ahead of the game on this, and I was just super impressed with this as well. This youth group that Steve mentioned in our announcements, a wonderful ministry for us to come together and be able to serve the people and the kids in our community and in our church. And so excited about that, and I think that fits exactly in line with what we're talking about this morning. But as important as it is to do things in the church and bring people in and invite people in and to do things within the church, there's so much mission and opportunities outside the church as well, and we'll talk more about that this morning as well. So the four keys this morning, we're first going to mention, the first key is going to be we need to make sure we make ourselves available to serve, making ourselves available to serve. And we all know this, right? We all probably have these opportunities or these things in our world that that if you don't take care of something right away, it just kind of the opportunity passes you by, right? And I was thinking when I was in college, so whatever, early 20s, all of these things were you know going on. In fact, it was a Saturday night before my first sermon one of my first sermons I was giving in a church. And I get this call, I think it was around 11:30 at night, from one of my fellow college buddies that his car broke down about 45 minutes away. And so I really did not want to go. I wanted to go to bed. I wanted to get a good night's sleep so I could, you know, and I was super nervous for the sermon the next day and all these things. I chose to go and pack up. You know, I don't know if I got home at 1 or 12:30, 1 o'clock or whatever it was. But I did it, and if I hadn't stepped in, if I hadn't been ready and available to do that, then I would have missed an opportunity to serve there, right? And that happened to me just a few weeks ago. I broke down just outside of Bartonville. My transmission went out, and I was scrambling. And I, you don't want me to be involved or be the leader in terms of when something really bad happens, because I panic. I won't go. I have lots of stories about that, but I just panic. And so I had to slow myself down first, and I said, okay, what do I need to do? So I called tow truck. Started thinking in my mind, who's available and who would be willing to come and help me for, you know, an hour away to come pick me up and drive me. And so I was super encouraged by all the people that were saying, yeah, I'd love to, but we're doing this. Not a lot. There was just a couple. It didn't take a lot of phone calls. I did finally get a hold of a wonderful couple that dropped everything that evening and came and picked me up. And at least from everything I saw, they were happy to do it. Maybe under the surface, I don't know. But I'm knowing them, they were happy to help and take care of those, you know, take 2.5 hours or whatever out of their evening to come pick me up. I actually had another individual come and check on me in Bartonville that gave me a ride from the side of the road up to a restaurant, which was wonderful as well. But those are the spur of the moment kind of things. You got to be ready. And again, I was just encouraged just because people were so willing to help me out. And like I said, I was just excited about that opportunity too. But that's where we need to be available. We need to be ready for people to say, okay, I need to go and do this. And we obviously have boundaries and we can't be available 24/7, obviously, and those kind of things as well. But being available is a big part of serving others. And again, I struggle with that, right? If it had been me that someone called to, you know, and it was going to take 2.5 hours out of my evening to run and grab someone from Bartonville, I would have not been as willing, I don't think, as some others were. Because I tend to like, you know, I have things scheduled and have times and not, you know, interrupting things and that kind of stuff. And so I need to work on that attitude a little bit as well. But I think being available to serve is such an important part of being able to serve, because we'll just miss so many opportunities if we don't. The next thing we need to think about in terms of being available, of serving together, is we need to work as a team. And just thinking about this as far as the overarching goal of where we're at and what we're doing. If we're not focused on a large goal, it's really hard to focus and be a team, right? Who are we serving? Why are we serving? And again, our ultimate goal, we know, is going to be serving Christ, is serving Jesus, especially those as followers of Jesus. That's our main goal, right? We're not serving for this purpose or this person or that person or whatever. We're serving because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And so we work on those things. And in fact, Ephesians 4, I think, says this well. We looked at part of this verse last week, verse 15 last week. But Ephesians 4, I'm going to read 15 again from last week, and 16, which I think highlights this really, really well. And it says this. It says, Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. There we go. From whom The whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And just the imagery here of Jesus being the head, right? That's we still talk about, you know, the head of the household, the head of the company, right? The head is the decision maker. The head is the source, the providence of where they're going, what they're doing, how they're accomplishing things. And Jesus is that head, right? He's the one that's going to make the decisions, tell us where we're going and what we're doing. But he's also, again, the source of everything that we have. For whatever reason, and I'm sure there are, and I know there's lots of good reasons, but Jesus chose the church. He chose us. He chose people to be the hands and the ligaments and the feet and the ankles and, you know, the hips and all the different parts to take that head who is Jesus into this world. And so that's what Paul is saying here, is that we are joined and held together by all those joints, and then we're equipped. Christ, you know, Christ takes care of those things for us, and then we go out and we accomplish this. But it makes it happen, and it is accomplished so that it can build itself up in love. And that's really the purpose, but it's also the source of how we can do this and work together, is coming together in love for the purpose of loving those around us. And so as we work together as a team, we know also that our weaknesses get covered up by someone else's strength, which to me is so important because I have lots of weaknesses. So I need other people around me to take care of the things that I can't take care of or do them better than I can do them. And again, a reason why I think it's so important for us as churches in this community to work together. You know, if I have a problem, we talk about this at our ministerial alliance once in a while. You know, if I have something going on and I need a thought or an opinion from someone, I'm going to call Ben rather than Darren for some things, but I'm going to call Darren rather than, you know, Matt for some other things. And it just depends on what's going on in the situation that the pastors themselves, I think, balance each other really well. But I think the churches as a whole do that really well, too, is that we've got things going on in the Methodist Church or the Grace Bible Church, Woodland, Bader, some of them, and I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. I know I am. I'm down in Central with Isaac's church and all these different things. All these different churches, I think, help fill out what God is, or what Paul's talking about in terms of being the church and serving well. And so finding ways to come together to balance each other out is such an important part of this. In fact, reminded of a verse that we looked at a couple weeks ago in Mark chapter 2, where the four friends, right, these four friends carry their paralytic friend to Jesus, right? And sure, one person probably could have, you know, hogtied his friend and pulled him, not hogtied, but carried, you know, piggybacked his friend up to Jesus, right, and found a way to get him to Jesus. But how much easier was it when the four of them did it together, right? And even in that culture, I don't think they did piggyback rides in that culture, but they definitely didn't call them piggyback rides because they didn't eat, you know, anyway, they don't eat pork and anything. So anyway, I should ask a Jew that sometime if they do piggyback rides because I think that'd be interesting. Where was I going? Deep breath and moving on. So in that culture, obviously that having the four friends help the one friend not just carry him to Jesus, but to, you know, to take him to the roof, to dig through the roof, to drop him down in there. The four obviously make the work significantly easier, but I think it's also, it obviously builds that friendship and relationship of those five as well. And so serving together, working together as a team is such an important part of this as well. And again, I think in our community, with the pastors and the other churches, community VBS, all these different kinds of things that we can do and do and also, and that we do together. Man, anybody else want the mic this morning? Goodness. All right, so, but we're serving together for, again, the purpose of Christ, the purpose of knowing and loving Jesus. And the focus is on God. It's about making, and that's really so important, I think, making God look good. Not about making myself look good or the story of Christian church or anything else other than let's make God look good. How can our efforts, how can us serving together, working together, make God look good? And a big part of that is what we've talked about the last couple weeks, and especially last week, is this idea of humility, which really brings us to the third key, which is thinking more about others than ourselves. And that, again, takes so much humility. Serving is not about us. Serving is about that other person, right? It's not about what I did or look at me. It's not even about how I feel, right? And I don't think it's bad to feel good about helping somebody. I think that's God-given, I think. But the purpose, again, and the focus should be about what's that other person need versus what do I want to give them or do for them. And so Hebrews 10:24 says this in terms of our community together. It says, "And let us consider how to stir one up one another to love and to good works." Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And this is so backwards from the way that we're taught, right? We're so much taught about taking care of yourself and your own, you know, your own stuff and dealing with your own things that we don't think about the other person as very well, oftentimes. In fact, when we do think about the other person, it's often in terms of how we feel about it as well. And for me, especially personally, it's so hard to try to do something for others or to give up, you know, where we want or what we want without feeling a certain amount of resentment. And I found that in my life, that I'll sacrifice something or I'll help somebody out or give something to somebody, and they don't do what I expect them to do with it, or I give up something that I don't, that I maybe shouldn't give up on, and then it just builds resentment. And I think that that's, to me, a huge part of considering others better than yourself is, how do I get rid of that attitude? How do I work through that in such a way to be able to move forward well without holding on to some kind of resentment when I've either sacrificed or given or shared with somebody else or served somebody else? And part of that, I think, comes from this passage in Hebrews 6:9. It says, "Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that ultimately belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do." And again, this focus goes back to, what is God thinking about what we're doing, right? It's making him look good, but also the author of Hebrews is saying it doesn't matter what other people are thinking or saying or doing or their response. It's ultimately, is God pleased with us? And when we're serving others, when we're loving others, when we're going out, especially when we can do it together, the more we can do it together, God's pleased with that. And he doesn't forget, right? It says he doesn't overlook, that's the word. He doesn't overlook the work that we've done and the things that we've accomplished. And so even if no one else notices, right? If no one else notices, and it's really hard sometimes to say, to not post things on Facebook and to say, look what I did. I shouldn't say, it's hard for me. It's not hard for, I realize that personal thing, but right, but it's about what is God seeing and looking at as we serve and love others around us. And again, the focus of who we're serving. William Carey, and we've talked about William Carey, he was considered the father of modern missions, and he served in India for years and years and years. His son, Felix, started to become a concern for William, though, and he wrote this letter when he found out that instead of his son becoming a missionary like he had promised, he chose to just be the ambassador to Burma for the Queen of England, okay? And this is the letter that William wrote about his son Felix when he decided to take the job as an ambassador rather than a missionary. He says, "Pray for Felix. Pray for Felix. He has degenerated into an ambassador for the British government when he should be serving the King of Kings." And I would argue with William Carey, I think he can still serve the King of Kings even being an ambassador to Burma. But his point is, I think, real clear, is that we may have a job here or there, we may be doing work here or there, we may be serving here or there, but ultimately, we're not serving an ambassador, we're not serving a boss, we're not serving our neighbor, we're ultimately serving the King of Kings. And as we celebrate again Palm Sunday and think about God or Jesus riding in and being that King, that's really our focus, right? We're focused not on ourselves, not about what we want or what we need, but upon this service of the King of Kings. Which brings us to our last key, which is, do every task with equal dedication. Mark 9:35 records Jesus' words and says, "If anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and servant of all." It's often easy to say that a menial task is going to, you know, it deserves less credit, or a menial task or a smaller task or a simpler task maybe isn't worth the same respect or the same emphasis that we might give it. But, you know, everything that happens in our culture, in our community, especially those things that we don't think about, need to get taken care of by somebody. And in order for those bigger things, the things that we might consider bigger or more important, we need the smaller things to be taking care of, what we might consider smaller things to be taken care of. I was working at Perkins in high school, and I was a busboy at the time, and so I go in for my shift, and as I get in there, the manager comes in and says, would you mind washing dishes? Our dishwasher called in, and would you mind washing dishes? And normally, I'm pretty easygoing. Normally, I'm pretty well, yeah, I can handle whatever and take, you know, I'll take whatever. I was more than mad. I was really, really annoyed that she asked me, and I couldn't say no, right? First, she's my boss. Second of all, I was raised to say yes to things like that. And so I said yes, but man, was I angry. I didn't break any dishes, but I was tempted to throw a few, I guarantee it. And she, at one point in time, she offers me a free meal for switching. And I said, that's right, you will. And I was like, that you did not want to know me in high school. I had an attitude worse than I do now. But that was a terrible thing. That's not a good example. That's a terrible example of these simpler tasks, these smaller tasks being just as important, right? And in fact, she thought that the job that I was supposed to do of being a busboy and clearing the tables was actually less important than the dishwasher, which it was, right? At the end of the day, the dishes are getting cleaned are more important than clearing the tables, because that's something that other people can do as well. And so, anyway, maybe I should. That was a terrible example, but anyway, that's the idea behind serving others, right? Is that our attitude towards it is such an important part of that as well. And so considering other tasks, other things that we may consider lesser or not important, taking equal dedication, because ultimately we're not serving that task or a person, we're ultimately always serving God and the King of Kings. The late Dawson Trotman, who is the founder of the Navigators, a significant big organization, Dawson organized this, but he was once visiting Taiwan on an overseas mission, and during a hike, he went with a Taiwanese pastor back into these mountain villages and to visit some of the different national Christians around there. And the road along the path was wet; their shoes became very muddy. Later, someone came and asked that Taiwanese pastor what he had thought or what he remembered most about this man, Dawson Trotman. Without hesitation, that man said, he washed my shoes. And this founder of the Navigators, this person who did some significant things in our world, the thing that this Taiwanese pastor remembered was that he washed his shoes after getting muddy and dirty. And, that looks like Jesus a whole lot, right? When he washes the disciples' feet and takes care of those kinds of things, right? Sometimes it's those small little tasks that people remember that are actually maybe even more significant than some huge big thing that we might do. And so taking tasks or taking each opportunity that we have to serve others is such an important part of this. But again, it becomes always about thinking about others better than ourselves, thinking God first more than anything else. And I think John 12 summarizes that really well for us. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, but whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So serving others, giving up some of our own personal stuff, our own personal plans and agendas and all those kinds of things, and saying, okay, I'm going to serve others, is ultimately about serving God, about serving Jesus. And again, it comes down, I think, so often to attitude and perspective, and we've talked about that over the last several months as well, but thinking about it as opportunities rather than as requirements. And I get caught up in this as well. I so often will think, well, God commanded me to do this, or God's called me to do this, and I think it's God coming down and me going out, when oftentimes we should think about it, well, this is an opportunity, right? I see an opportunity, and that way I can bring it back to God. And so instead of it being a demand or a command or a requirement, when we think about it as an opportunity, right? When that phone rings and thinking, okay, well, what do they want now? What are they asking me for? And, you know, well, and it's selling me their extended warranty or whatever. But no, it's all of these kinds of things. The phone rings and we just know it's someone going to ask for something. Instead of thinking, I don't want to answer the phone, but I will because I have to. Think of it, well, how can I serve them now? And obviously, they have to have boundaries, and we have to put limits on things and that kind of thing, too. But it's such an important part of our lives to be able to be open and have an attitude of service and of who we're serving above everything else. There was a man who dropped in a bank, and the customer service clerk was sitting there on the phone talking to somebody about these new restaurants in town. And the gentleman stands there and just kind of taps his fingers on the counter for a while, for about 3 minutes, before finally the customer clerk looks at the man, turns away again and says to the caller, "Hold on a second, I have a customer interrupting me." And sometimes that's how we live our lives, right? Hopefully we don't have, but that's really what Jesus followers are, right? We're in customer service. We're in ways of finding ways to help and serve others because that's what Jesus has called us to. And we have opportunities to do that. And if we, you know, we would probably have some choice words for, you know, someone on the phone talking about new restaurants when they should be serving us, right, at a bank or wherever. But that's the same role that we play as Christians. How can we serve you? How can I help you today? And finding ways to serve and love that person, not because of them even necessarily, but because of what God has called us to. And so with all that in mind, I have a very practical application for us this morning. Maybe you've seen in the newspaper or on Facebook or something already, but the ministerial has kind of put this together with the Lions Club of this idea of Brighten Up Astoria. And on Saturday, April 17th, in a few weeks, we're going to go out and we're just going to help people that can't help themselves. The idea behind it is neighbors helping neighbors. And so basically, usually it's going to be kind of a physical labor, things outside where we're going to pick up sticks or clean gutters or things like that. But I think all of us, if anything else, need to be involved to the extent that just praying about it. The goal and the hope is that this is a community building mentality, right? If we get gutters cleaned and people, you know, that's great. You know, if the town looks just a little bit brighter afterwards, that's great. But the most important thing is how are we as a community going to come together and take care of each other? And so if nothing else, over the next few weeks, if you can pray about that and just, you know, that it becomes a way that we can build our community up a little bit better together, and that we're ultimately serving not each other even necessarily, but we're serving God through our efforts. The second thing is obviously, if you're able to help and interested in help, we'll have more details about where and when to help in the coming weeks, but just want to encourage you to maybe consider being a part of it. It won't be, you know, it's not going to be like 10 to, you know, 9 to 10 or something like that. We're not going to go wee hours of the night or something, but because I got to get up and preach the next day, so that's, don't want to go out. No, we just need people to come and be a part of that. Again, the hope is to build the community more than anything else. And also third is, I know people don't like to ask for help, right? I don't like to ask for help, right? I know you could look at my yard and say, well, he should do this and take care of that and this kind of stuff. And my excuse is it's too wet. And so that's going to be my excuse for a long time, I think, yet. But you know, I can take care of the stuff at the house when I get to it. But I could also ask for help, right? And I could say, well, this needs to get done. Can I get help with that and that kind of stuff? It's hard for us to ask for help. But also important for us to ask for help, because asking for help builds that community as well. And so, seriously, if there are things that, A, you just won't have the time to get done, or you physically can't get done, or you're going to have someone else come in. I was told, you're going to know who it is based upon the ages, but there's a lady that's 100 years old down the street that had her 80-year-old son up on a ladder cleaning out gutters last year. So they asked us to come help, and so we're going to go down and help them as well. But that's the kind of idea, right? Asking for help, it builds our community. It allows us to have those opportunities. And so I just encourage you that if you could, you need something done at your place or you have a neighbor or someone else, just ask them if we can come. We'd really like to do that as well. And so this is the opportunity we have to serve together. And so pray about it, think about it, consider where we're at and what we're doing. Again, the goal isn't to serve our 100-year-old neighbor or, you know, person across the street or across town. The goal is to ultimately serve Christ as followers of him, having those opportunities, not the requirements, but the opportunities to serve those around us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we again just thank you so much for those opportunities. We pray that more of them come into our path, that we see them and we step into them as quickly as we're able to. And we can't obviously be everywhere at every time. We can't always drop everything constantly to go and help people. But we also, Lord, just need to be available to be able to serve in whatever way that we can, to be able to serve not the people around us necessarily, but ultimately serve you. I pray that we open our eyes to those opportunities, that you open our eyes even more to see those opportunities and to love those around us well. And we want to pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.